Giants doing?
Playing baseball.
Oh, baseball.
Indeed.
Yeah.
More than one sports team has the Giants moniker, Trevor.
You know, I don't pay attention to baseball because it's not
a real sport. I don't know, you're in your fancy studio.
Baseball is not a real sport.
You with your gold pants and your grand piano.
It's not, it's not. Hey, Gavin.
Yes.
Baseball is what? It's America's what?
National pastime.
National pastime. Thank you, it's not a real sport.
Best not to be talking about that way around me.
I'm just saying, you know.
Trevor's more of a fan of the spelling bees.
I like spelling bees. Children's swimsuit competitions are big on my list.
Okay, this trend of little children is making me a bit concerned to be on the...
Have I said more than one little children thing so far?
Well, you said spelling bees and then you went on to little children. So.
Are they going
to
be adult spelling bees?
Generally, but, you know, the preconceived notion is children, especially in school.
Yeah, it'd be like children. Extreme spelling bee.
To the death.
In the aggro crag. Whatever. Do you know what podcast this is, Adam?
85.
85. Well, whatever you
want. I've been studying all week for this.
I know. You sent me that wonderful email. I didn't expect it. When
you
Yaz was host.
Didn't read it.
Yaz literally came in with nothing when he was host.
Yaz is a waste of space.
He's going to die in Germany.
Yes, he will die in Germany. All right, you want me to start?
Go ahead.
All right. Welcome to Forced Update. This is episode 85. This is the worst video game podcast on the internet. It's me, Adam. I am your host today. I'm with Trevor and our new guest, Gavin. Say hi, Gavin.
Hey. What's up?
All right.
Yo.
Like that was a question, as if the audience would answer back.
Yeah,
yes, yes I do.
Really, that is all I've prepared. I have nothing. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, one of my first Trevor and I were discussing before you got on, Gavin, was Trevor has a bunch of wedding gowns on his computer, and we were wondering, is there wedding porn? And if there is, how have we not found it yet?
Hmm.
I
was wondering if you could...
I mean, there's, like, porn for everything, you know? Like,
Rule
there's,
34.
Like, midget clown porn, and there's, like... But I've never in my life seen wedding porn. Like,
and I know it's not too sensitive of a subject, because you have, like, nun porn. You have,
yeah,
like,
there's
bunch of other shit.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. The ceremony itself doesn't really lend itself to anything in that kind of capacity, but certainly a wedding dress being used in that way wouldn't be too out of line. But in terms of, I don't know what exactly it would entail.
I think the ceremony would be funny to just...
Yeah, see, like, I see it like standing at the altar, best man on, you know, on the side, waiting. The music starts playing, da-da-da-da. Brian starts gingerly walking down the aisle. Father hands her off to her husband-to-be, and then bam! Bangs her in front of the priest.
Interesting. I mean,
that just sounds funny to me.
I know. I think, why is this not, why does this not exist?
I think it's been waiting for you to create it.
Because I told Trevor jokingly that he couldn't jack off to wedding dresses, which we all know you can.
Why do you think they're on my desktop?
I mean, really, I think I've just been waiting for something that has a little bit of production value behind it. I know now where my savings are going
to
go.
Yep, we're going to start the Forced Update wedding porn fun.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, neither of us will star in it because no one wants to see us in any capacity.
Chances are it'll just really turn into a snuff film of Yaz dying in Germany.
Yes.
But
he'll be wearing the wedding dress.
But I really do like the direction that it's going, and even the snuff film, I think there's a lot of room for humor in that.
Yes, yes.
Seeing as how Yaz paid so little for the plane ticket.
but
that couldn't
thing.
Save his life. Think about that on a movie poster.
I can envision it right now. I really think we're on to something.
I have written his life, now he should go live it. Alright, Okay, Trevor, what did you do this week in video games?
What did I do? I'm just so weird to get asked the question first. I'm not prepared. Oh no, I still have my trusty notepad, so. I'll tell you, I didn't do anything on the PlayStation Network, because that's kind of fucked, but I did, I managed to download a couple demos before the whole thing crashed. I only played one of the demos this week, which was Swarm. Have you heard of Swarm? Has either of you heard of Swarm?
No, I have not.
Faintly. Can't really recall any details.
Yeah, it's like a little indie game. You control like 50 blue like lemmings, and you herd them through a level full of obstacles. The object is to like collect enough points so that when you get to the end of the level, like your like crazy alien mother comes up and like takes the, and then you go to the next level or some shit. But the game is mostly centered around these little creatures being murdered in ingenious ways. The problem is, it's the same problem that was in Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime, which is everything's so fucking far away that you can't even fucking see it. So, like, what's the point of making this, like, elaborate, like, something will get, like, hit with, like, a rock, and it'll, like, knock, like, half its body off, and it'll, like, stumble around and fall, like, ripped in two, but you don't ever get to see that, because these things are, like, even on, like, my HD giant TV, there's still these little itty-bitty blue dots. So, this trend of, like, make the main character the smallest thing on the screen that I've seen in the last, like, three PlayStation Network games I've played, getting kind of old.
Sounds like you need a new TV.
I need a Westinghouse.
You need a 720. You need a 760 Westinghouse.
My TV is like, pretty good.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good TV. The good thing, though, is... when you beat the demo, it does the screen that's like, purchase, question mark? And when you, one of the options is just, there's like one of the blue swarmites, they're called, on the screen. You can just hit a button and watch them die. I played the game for probably 10 minutes. That's how long it took me to beat like one or two levels. I sat on the watch, the like swarmite die screen for like 15 to 20 minutes, just killing them over and over again. So download that demo if you ever get the chance, and just get to the part where you can watch it die, because that is the best part.
And you will have earned your money that you spent.
Yes.
Huh.
What I really want to talk about today, though, is something we didn't get to talk about last week, because Yaz is a failure, and I'm hoping Gavin played it a little bit. Portal 2.
Well, I did review it for the site, so
you know what, I
put 15 minutes in or so, but
yeah. That's how we review on the site, right? We turn it on, we watch the intro screen, it gives you a brief synopsis, and then you write it up.
Absolutely, that's what... No, I went through Portal 2. I had finished the single-player campaign and most of the co-op by the time that people on Steam were getting particularly antsy about it releasing early.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
It is a phenomenal game.
It is a phenomenal game. I want to keep spoilers to a minimum. Me and Adam have both also beat it.
Oh, congrats.
But we didn't get to talk about it a lot last week. I actually really wanted to this week. God, yeah. We are...
Wait, you didn't talk about last week when the title of the podcast was Thinking with Portals?
Yaz, obviously you're not an avid listener, and I commend you for that.
The title of our podcast was Thinking with Portals?
I don't remember what it was. I just write it really fast, so I'm not too...
Double check it. Had a
Gavin, congratulations. You pay more attention to this podcast than I do.
I'm proud of him for not listening. That means his life is worth more than what we do, which is...
That is true.
This awful piece of shit that we do
here. Here we are thinking of wedding porn and snuff films.
No, okay, no Thinking with Portals. You don't have a title specifically, but your logo on our site does feature both the blue and orange portal.
Yes, we were going to do a Portal podcast, but Yaz had only played like 15 minutes of it, and we ended up talking about shitting for an hour, which is the quality we keep here at Forced Update.
Only the highest caliber
shitting stories.
That is all that we can accept at AltaGeek.
Yes, that's... I am assuming Randy doesn't listen to this, or else like 10 podcasts ago we would have been done.
We're really waiting for somebody to just buy us out.
Yeah, we're trying to hit it big time. We're waiting for that big check to come in.
I think we're all waiting for that.
Everyone on that website is waiting for the big check to come in.
Yes, yes, sir.
So a little bit about Portal 2. One thing I wanted to cite was the music in that game. I'm not really big in game music, but the music in the game is phenomenal.
In what capacity?
In both the capacity that the scores are really good, and that simple actions kind of alter the play of the music.
Yeah, I mean, that in terms of audio design, it was really good. In terms of the actual orchestral soundtrack, I thought it was the least impressive thing on that presentation, which is sort of a way of, you know, it's a backhanded compliment considering how good everything else is, considering that they're using, you know, the grandfatherly source engine at this point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, the physics were my main draw, but I did like the audio design, and especially once you... Once you enter into the second act, the audio design uses a lot of work with echoes.
Yes.
Once that hits, and it's done very well. Not to mention, of course, the absolutely phenomenal voice acting.
Yeah, voice acting is the nothing I have heard. Period, is on par with the voice acting and the sheer amount of voice acting. I know there's a part where Wheatley, the little robot you meet right at the beginning of the game, is trying to hack into a computer.
Right.
And he literally has a dialogue that goes on for like 17 minutes.
Yeah, I was actually listening to that. I thought I was supposed to wait for him to do something. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just sit here.
Yeah, he just goes on and on. After a certain point, I was like, well, let me try to figure this out. But like, I was just like floored.
About the floor in the room. Yeah.
By like just how much dialogue is put in. I actually liked the music. I thought it was very Tron 2 kind of Daft Punk.
Whoa. You can't throw that Daft Punk comparison around so lightly.
Yeah, I mean it very loosely. It was vaguely reminiscent of the score Daft Punk did for Tron 2. Which, by the way, not sure how I feel about that movie.
Movie I can take or leave. The music should have won the best original score that year.
I've been listening to that CD over and over again.
Especially
the only good part of the Tron 2 movie was probably the David Bowie ripoff. but
you mean Michael Sheen's character?
I don't know who Michael Sheen is, but yes, that guy.
The club owner.
Yes, I was saying, it's the only, you can't miss him. So he was basically David Bowie, and I love David Bowie. So
David Bowie is one of the supreme awesome people.
A god among men.
He is.
Absolutely. Dance Magic fans.
A goblin king. So anyways,
I'm glad we can have a podcast with a labyrinth reference in it.
Always a good thing.
But like there'd be times where you like shoot a laser into like the laser receptacle and it do a tone, like a music tone, and then when you would do more of them you'd get more music tones, or when you bounced on bounce gel it would do like a note, and it was creative in a way that I noticed it, whereas I've seen that a little bit in other games. I mean, Pokemon Black and White has like a little drum beat when you're running, and I barely ever noticed that and didn't really give anything to it. I was really happy with that here. Second thing was that the amount of detail in the levels, to where the levels are pretty much another living creature, especially at the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah.
Did anybody kind of feel like that?
The walls and everything had their own sort of personality.
Yeah, like you'd walk into a room and there'd be like one of the like square pneumatics that move the blocks around, like trying to pull itself back through the wall, or it'd be sweeping up earth as you came in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really like that. But because of these two things, the thing I hated about Portal 2, and almost as unacceptable in my opinion, is the load times in that game.
Load times, no. Frequency of loading screens.
That's what I should say. Loaded. Yes, that's. Thank you. That's way too many loading
screen. Is not that. When you play The Witcher, when you play The Witcher in 2007, I think it was 2007 when it first came out, before it was patched up to, you know, the sheen it was.
Yeah, I had the patch.
There are good minute long loading screens when you're entering a house. So, I mean, you know, Portal 2 is not that bad, but if you know what you're doing in the rooms, you can go from one loading screen to another, 10-second loading screen to another 10-second loading screen in about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and it feels kind of like, eh.
In frequency, that gets really tiresome, I thought. Along with, am I the only one who thought that after a certain point, the puzzles got a little tiring, and I really just wanted to hear more dialogue? especially
for me, that's
toward
what
the end.
drove me through a lot of the game. I wanted to hurry and complete the puzzles just to see what Cave Johnson would say next, or GLaDOS, or Wheatley, really any of those characters.
For me, it was hard to find that difficult balance because you never knew what dialogue options would continue to cycle through, what would become a dialogue, and a lot of times I would continue into the room and one dialogue spread would stop, and then one would be activated once I entered the room, or put a button on put a weighted storage cube on a button or something like that. So I missed a lot of that my first time playing through, and that was kind of annoying. So mainly I spent a lot of the times where there was a lot of dialogue, just waiting in hallways. Just, I wanted to hear everything.
Yes, I did
That's
that
not a
too.
very good thing to do in Portal 2.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing where I just kind of kicked my feet around hoping that something would be said or a conversation would continue. And I'd only leave like when it got to that cycle, like Wheatley constantly has a cycle where like if he wants you to go in a room, he'll just start going, "Go in there, yeah. Yeah, you should go in there.
Go in
I'd
there,
go in
just
there." And like
walk through the door.
you hit that
It's simple thing, one foot in front of the other, just go in the room.
But you'll hit that
Go in there,
cycle
yes.
where like you know he's not gonna say anything outrageous anymore. He's just gonna keep like repeating that in different ways. Never recycling it, but he'll keep going through that stream of like that's like how they told you that you could go on.
There's actually a noticeable audio decrease in there purposefully once the dialogue cycles through. When it's prominent, it will be louder and it's more easier to hear. But once it goes in, or even if the cycle repeats to go to the original dialogue, the volume will dip and the aesthetic volume within the room will uptick.
I did not notice
So
that, which is probably a good thing.
it's very faint. Valve loves to throw these little faint little things in there. So I've been following them for a while, so I'm kind of used to it. But yeah, especially with audio, they love to play around with.
And then I just wanted to say, did you play it on the PC, Kevin?
PS3.
Okay. Do they have trophy support at any kind on Steam?
They do have achievement support,
They do
yes.
have achievements. Well, I wrote an article in Elder Geek once about how much I hated trophies, but the trophies and the achievements or trophies or whatever you want to say in this game, actually, I thought were the most tasteful in any game I've played. To the point where like I didn't look at them at all when I started playing, which is unusual for me. And it wasn't the regular fare. Like I expected them to be like, stop 100 turrets by dropping them in portals. But like the actual achievements were actually like really meaningful things. And I won't spoil any of them because part of the fun is like not looking at them and kind of just stumbling on them. But they all were extra. Like it was by getting this achievement, you found something extra that would be talked about or something that you didn't have to like grind to do. It was just stuff that kind of you just kind of willingly did to see what would happen, and then it would reward you.
Basically, if you like the game, you would have no qualms with doing any of these trophies.
No, and I never go back to play a game to get trophies, and I fully intend to at least try and get them all in Portal 2.
Right. I'm at 65% now. Can't really go because the other ones I have remaining are in the co-op,
Yeah.
and I'm on PS3. So
Ah,
kind of stuck there.
yes. Luckily, I've been getting my girlfriend to sit in and join me on that.
Nice.
I know I've been taking up a lot of time. I'll hurry up a little bit.
Same.
Start playing Phoenix Wright, the second one. Gotta beat
Yes.
the first one. I actually accidentally played the first like case and a half of the third one, not knowing it was the third one. And then I looked up online because they were like citing a bunch of things that I didn't remember. And realized I'd skipped one, but you played it, Gavin?
I played a Phoenix Wright. I don't know if it's the Phoenix Wright you're talking about.
Okay, well, I noticed that in the Phoenix Wright world, everyone who dies tries to write the name of their killer somewhere.
Right.
I don't think that happens in real life. Like I've never been like, uh-oh. This guy died, but don't worry, he wrote the Menendez brothers on the sidewalk before he went out. That's never seen that happen before. And yet it happens all the time in the Phoenix Wright world. And usually it's somebody else doing it. It's always a plant.
So do they write it with like a pen or with like
No, it's
blood
always
or?
like blood or in the sand or like they
Okay.
spelt it with building blocks or they killed
That's actually
a
awesome.
dog and did that. It's just I just wanted to say, what the fuck, guys? What the fuck? scene.
Well done, sir.
That's it. That's it for Trevor.
I do think that murder victims do intend to at least, if left with a certain amount of time with the knowledge that they are going to die, you know, bleeding from the inside or whatnot, I'm sure that, you know, it seems natural that they would try to leave at least an identifier of who killed them, or at least leave as much evidence or point someone in the direction as they would want to, as they can, considering, you know, vengeance is a natural human emotion. But to the extent that, and then Phoenix, right? No, it's a narrative gimmick.
It's always a narrative gimmick. If it was my last few moments of life, probably try to arrange my corpse in a very comical way before I died.
See, I'm still floored by the building blocks written, the name written in the building blocks, because to me, if I was a detective, I would immediately say the killer was a baby.
The killer is obviously a baby.
The killer is obviously an infant.
If you were about to die, Adam, if you went to Germany with Yaz and with him you died,
I would have building blocks on me.
Last thing you would do before you die, what would it be?
Kill Yaz.
Kill Yaz. I think that's a pretty good one. Gavin, you're dying. You've been shanked to death. Not by like a film shank where it's like the huge like drawback and then like, oh, I stabbed you so hard, but like the like stab, 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 stab shank. And you're dying now. Last thing you do.
Well, I would probably try to leave a contrived message for people that are trying to find my killer.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd probably do something to fuck with people that are trying to find my killer, or fuck with my killer, however I can.
I would.
You can write on the ground and blood gurgle.
Gurgle. Dead. Castle dying. Of, oh. Yeah. Do the Monty Python thing and I would like let's say some serious like killer guy. Like I'd probably like strip down and make it look like I was sexually abused so that he'd have to deal with that shit when he goes down in the history books. Take that, murderer. Now everyone thinks...
Because everybody'd be like, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
And the guy would be like, no, I fucking killed him.
He'd go on TV and he'd be like, I want to say I'm a murderer and I don't have sex with men.
And they were like, well, he died with a wooden spoon up his ass. How do you...
Yeah, and then he'd be caught.
How do you explain that?
I would have effectively caught my own killer by making... by turning him into a pariah.
Yep. Stick it to him.
Stick it to the man. That's what this podcast is about.
Like he Absolutely. Supposedly stuck it to you.
I'm done though. That's it for me.
Okay. Well, on to you, Gavin.
Okay. I am also been playing Portal 2. I beat it, and I think I put about 35 hours into it now, just because.
That's impressive. Shit.
That is.
When I put in, you know, I was there once it was launched early on PC.
Did you just say when?
No, I said when.
Oh, it would have been awesome if you just said whence. I'm sorry, continue.
I don't know if that's a real word.
I think whence is a word. I think it's Old English.
From whence it came, yeah. Whence it came, yeah. But I was there right when it came out early on the PC. So everyone, I was, you know, one of the first people to have a PS3 and PC co-op session, mainly because it wasn't available to most people with a PS3 yet.
Yes.
But I would finish a couple levels and people would have to go, and then... two other people would come and ask me to start co-op with them, and I would go through it with them again, go through a couple chambers, they'd leave, and I've been through the calibration portion of the co-op, the very first thing you do in co-op, about 6 times.
Yeah.
And I've gone through the single-player campaign around 3 times, mainly because I wanted to go back and get the achievements, so or trophies in my case.
Yeah.
Or trophies and achievements since it's on my PC.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've got, yeah, like I said, 65% on Portal 2 so far, looking forward to get the rest. I don't know what I have left to do in terms of trophies.
And you've been doing that. Your monitor, what is your monitor, LCD or LED?
You mean my TV?
Whatever you're using to play it the most.
LCD.
LCD. Okay. I know a person who played it. And he didn't play it as long as you, but he played it so long that the portal reticle got burned into his TV.
Huh.
It's always at center.
Right, it is, yeah. It's purposeful. It's kind of like in Mirror's Edge. You have the reticle there,
yeah.
So people don't experience vertigo.
Well, he played it so much that since that reticle never moves, it burned into his TV. So if he plays any games right now, he has a portable reticle burned into the center of his TV.
Well, at least he'll never have vertigo in any game ever.
He will be centered in every game.
That sounds good. Otherwise, I actually came up to visit my friend and help him out with a review project he's doing. He's also in the same business as me, and so I've been playing Mortal Kombat with him.
Okay,
so that's kind of fun.
We had Justin come on and talk to us a little about his article he wrote about Mortal Kombat. But we haven't had anybody who's physically played the final version of the game yet.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Mortal Kombat?
What is there to say? I mean, it's definitely a return to roots with quite a bit of refinement. Mortal Kombat has always been about trying to shove as much stuff in there as possible, and whatever faults I've had with the gameplay, it's always been overshadowed by the absolute love these guys have for the immature and the gratuitousness.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's very true. I mean, the crypt itself, you have a currency there, coins with a K, naturally, and there's thousands of things, or about 1,000 little prizes that you pick up for doing things like playing matches in the single player campaign, going through this 300 challenge tower. They do a lot of it's like test your might, test your strength, well, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like defend yourself from a zombie horde using this only this special attack. So going through those 300 things also give you currency. What else? I mean, the single player campaign itself is a monument to how far NetherRealm, or at least the guys at the head of NetherRealm, have come since the original Mortal Kombat. I mean, most fighting game stories are usually broken up into about 1 hour campaigns each for each character. You go through, fight the same dudes, go to the same boss, and then you unlock each character and you get like a bonus costume or something after completing, or at least a CG cutscene or whatever. Mortal Kombat, it's the same single player campaign that whenever you play it, but it's so well, I don't want to say paced, but it's so nicely varied. Because
okay.
Through it, it's 16 chapters, and you'll play, each chapter is devoted to a good character. So you start out with Johnny Cage, you play a little bit with him, then you play a little bit as Cyrax, and you play a little bit as Sonya Blade, a little bit as Jax. And over the 10 hours, you go through such a variety of it, and if you play a little bit of the Challenge Tower too, it's the easiest way to learn new moves and implement them in the single-player campaign. It all seems like a much more focused package than what we've been getting with Mortal Kombat in the past few games, like Armageddon.
Yes.
Armageddon was the entire single player story was, holy shit, there's so many Mortal Kombat characters, the universe is being destroyed. So, I mean, this one, they've refined it, they've mini-sized it a little bit. I'm sad that there's no animalities or no friendships. But beyond that, I mean, the gameplay itself backed into a 2D plane, which it should have been, never should have gone away from. And the five button system is still there.
Mm-hmm.
High attack, low attack, high kick, low kick, high punch, low punch, and block. And that functions very well. So it's definitely a return to form, and I'm happy to see it. Granted, some of the fights you have to play in the single player campaign are annoying, like 2-on-1 fights, or Shao Kahn has always been cheap, but in Mortal Kombat 9, he is exceptionally cheap, especially if you're like me and refuse to play on anything lower than normal difficulty. Especially if you're an original fan of the series, you're going to love it. If you weren't an original fan of the series, it's just going to be a pretty solid fighting game.
I actually, because I'm as fighting games go, I mainly play Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and the sheer lack of story, like, and I guess they don't have to do one, but like, the sheer lack of story in that game actually bothers me a little bit, like unlockables and story. So
yeah, everything you've said about Mortal Kombat makes me a little bit embarrassed by everything the single player in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 doesn't have.
Which is everything.
Right. Yeah.
I'm extremely disappointed with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Especially the online in Mortal Kombat even does better than 1-Ups Marvel vs. Capcom 3 because they have active waiting areas where you have, if you're on 360, your avatars, if you're on PS3, you have little mini versions of the characters,
cool.
And you can interact with the players. I mean, you have emoticon options to say, you know, I think you're cheap, so, you know, I don't like that. Or if you think a player's doing well, you can cheer, stuff like that. I mean, it keeps the activity going, whereas Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you have two fucking little cards bouncing up against each other while you're waiting in a lobby.
Yeah,
and that's just ridiculous. And Mortal Kombat just has a much more wider breadth of multiplayer modes. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 doesn't. So, I mean, I never thought I'd see the day where Marvel vs. Capcom could be underscored by a Mortal Kombat game.
I couldn't believe, and if I'm wrong, I swear to God, if somebody knows this, please leave it in our comments. me and Adam cannot figure out a way to put infinite time on a match online in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And maybe we suck and we shouldn't need infinite time, but I like having infinite time in my matches.
From what I have seen and I've read in forums, that is not in the game, and everybody says it should be patched into the game, and I'm like, why would they not even consider having that to begin with? Because their whole thought process of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was to try to tone it down so that people who aren't that good at fighting games could play it, because that was the whole, like, automatic where you just hit, like, X and you can do all the cool shit combos, and they didn't add that factor. Because the first time Trevor and I played, what was it, like the first four games?
Yeah.
We didn't even kill, like, one of our characters. We just ran out of time. And
yeah,
like,
we still made it out.
Sucks.
Every match. It was kind of bullshit. Still like that game. It was really annoying.
I actually love the game. I can see what Gavin is talking about the lobbies, because unless I am playing you or Yaz in the game, I immediately turn off my mic. Because the only thing that people are talking about is, like, you pick your team, and my team is usually either, like, a grab bag of people or, like, Ryu, like, the characters that I like. And
yeah,
they're like, very elitist in those lobbies, and they're just like, no, my team's going to be, like, Dormammu, Sentinel, and everything, because he's got the best assist and everything like that. And I feel like I'm 12 with my Pokemon, and I'm just like, but I like these guys. And I want to play, and they'll
That's
be like, well, I'm
whenever,
third
whenever
lord. Yeah, and they'll be like, well, I'm third lord, and I have 100 wins and 16 losses, and I'm like, I have 7 losses and 2 wins.
Yeah, I gave up on Marvel vs. Capcom 3 until I see some Ultimate Edition or some DLC. I mean, they haven't even done another Shadow Battle. I mean, they did one or two.
Actually, they did release another Shadow Battle, but they want you to pay for it.
Really? What
yeah.
the fuck?
Yes.
But no, this is supposed to be a weekly thing. Shadow Battle was supposed to be implemented weekly, and that didn't happen, and paying for new characters that I don't want, like Jill Valentine and
Green
Dude.
Shuma Gorath. Yeah, they both sucked. Shuma Gorath is okay, but Jill Valentine's awful.
I'm still holding out, because a lot of the executives have said that high on the polls is Gene from God Hand. If they put him
in there,
awesome. I will pay for that character.
I would play
because
Gene,
I don't
play
think
for,
they can fuck up that character.
I would pay for Black Panther. I would play for Strider or anyone from Power Stone.
I just want Cable back then, to be honest.
I mean, how can you take out entries like Gambit and then leave in people like Sentinel?
Yeah,
I kind of was awkward. I thought,
took out Iceman, so good, too. You know, good for that. But
yeah,
they even took out Cyclops. Cyclops was on the box for Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I was so more like Venom. The fact that they removed Venom killed me on the inside, because that was like the staple of my team at MVC2.
Venom was awesome. Venom's gonna come back as paid DLC though. There are a couple characters where that's pretty much guaranteed.
Okay.
and then supposedly Mega Man X. If they release Mega Man X and Gene, I know I'm immediately $10 in the hole.
You'll buy them all anyways, Adam. Don't fucking lie. You don't believe Mike's real.
Here's the thing.
On fucking fight sticks.
If Jill and Shuma Gorath hadn't already come out, I would say yes, I'd buy them all. But I got Jill and Shuma Gorath for free because I got the special edition on. I still felt cheated. So I actually will be selective with who I buy on that, because here's the thing. When I go online, people are still going to use Sentinel, Dormammu, and who else? They're not going to use any of the new guys.
That's true, I guess.
Capcom kind of made themselves, painted themselves into a corner here, because you can't release a game like Super Street Fighter 4 and then completely do a turnaround and release a game as bare bones as Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That's just that's insulting to your fan base.
Where the fuck? And I know we'll never get it, but where's Killer Instinct? I want a new Killer Instinct. Never happened.
Rare is currently owned by Microsoft, and they're making the kitty games.
They're not even making kitty games. They're making Avatars and like Sports Party or something, or Adventure Game 2 for Kinect. God damn it.
Not gonna happen, man. Sorry. I mean, maybe that's a good thing though. Did you play Banjo Kazooie Nuts and Bolts?
No.
That was a piece of crap.
Yes, I actually saw. We had a friend. He had actually been on one of the podcasts.
It was actually Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse. and he played that game, and he played a lot longer than I thought he would, and like he immediately went and returned it, and I was just like, that game looked like no fun at all.
It wasn't any fun at all. I mean, I can go without a Killer Instinct if I can just get another Conker, but that's not going to happen either, so I
Oh man, if I
hope.
get another Conker, oh, I would have sex with whoever I had to.
Don't really think I need to know that.
You would have said it anyway.
You do now.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to live with that.
I'll try. It's going to be difficult.
Telling you, baby blocks at the body seam. Just throws them off every time.
What else have I been playing since we're still technically on that section of the podcast? I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I've been playing a little bit of Valkyria Chronicles 2 on my PSP
Oh, me too.
constantly.
That's kind of
That's an
awesome.
awesome goddamn game.
There's actually like four, because two of our commenters have been playing it, and then
It's an
you,
awesome
and
game.
then me. So that's kind of crazy. I actually was playing it right before I did this podcast.
Oh
Are
my God.
you like past midway through?
Yeah, I think last I checked, I just completed August.
Has everybody? Oh wait, are you on the PSP?
Valkyria Chronicles 2 is only on the PSP.
Oh, you said two. Fuck, never mind. I'm still on one.
Oh no, I want to.
I was gonna say, because in one, everybody dodges everything. There's like a 50% chance to hit any given person.
That
Is it
gets a
like
bit
that in two?
finicky, and yeah. That certain times, especially when you get up in levels.
Yeah.
Me, I'll take a stream of bullets once in a while just to get behind and flank somebody.
Yeah,
It's
that's
kind of
what
like
I've
real
kind of
warfare.
started doing, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like real warfare. Any strategy games like those, three Fs: find the enemy, flank them, finish them. So I mean, that's what you gotta do. So that's what I'm doing. I'm a cheap ass in Valkyria Chronicles.
Okay.
Total cheap ass.
Hey, that's the same way I am in Fire Emblem in those games too. You build up a
What?
general, build up just a strong guy, and just send him in there and kill everything.
And just in general, if you ever ask me what I'm playing, there's a 90% chance that at some point in the last week or so, I put in a considerable amount of time to Final Fantasy Tactics: The War of the Lions on the PSP.
Oh, okay.
Because I love Final Fantasy Tactics. Between the original on the PSX and the War of the Lions on the PSP, I put in over 1,000 hours into that game, and I'm still very
Damn.
happy with it.
You should try Jeanne d'Arc,
Jeanne
or
d'Arc. I actually love Jeanne d'Arc. It was
oh,
one of the
okay, yeah.
games I still need to get for my PSP, but I did play it for a bit, and it's really good.
Yeah, really good. Trying to think if there's any others. Well, the Disguise series, anyways.
Well, I think Tactics Ogre. I reviewed
Oh yeah,
Tactics
Tactics
Ogre
Ogre
for the site.
too. That's a...
So hopefully Ogre Battle's gonna be released, re-released pretty soon. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But PSN is the PlayStation Store. The PS1 classics have always been pretty good to me. When they were up, when this network was
And
up.
if it ever will be again.
It will, yeah. I've been the one that's been, burying my nose into Sony news for the past week just because everyone else was there
Yes.
too.
Yeah, that's one of our news stories today, because I would be remiss if we didn't speak about what has been spoken so much throughout this week and a half.
We'll talk about your games, Adam, and then maybe we can.
Well, really, I only have one game to talk about, which I've been playing this week, which is Okami, which is
Nice.
now for those of you listening and for you guys there, I've never played any like Zelda games or Zelda-esque games.
This is Adam's first, this is Adam's my first Zelda,
So
so.
this is like baby's first Zelda game here. So I get lost just doing side quests for people, and the side quests are in Okami rather adorable. Because they're usually just innocent, where people are like, "Oh, I dropped my mask," or the old lady was like, or actually it was an old man, Mr. Flower, was like, "Oh, I need you to bloom these trees for me." And Trevor had told me last podcast that I needed to bloom the little tree on his head, which I was laughing at. But I must have played probably about 2 or 3 hours and actually never left that city, because I was just doing side quests for people and turned off the game and went, I actually really didn't get anything done in that game as far as story-wise, and I'm like, I'm okay with that.
That's how you know a good like Zelda style game is when you can spend a crazy amount of time. That was good on like old Final Fantasy games too. Where you could turn it on, play for like 6 hours, and then realize you did nothing of value, nothing of plot value. That's like 90s. That was like 90s video games.
I just have yet to find a game other than Okami that is so endearing that actually makes me want to do those things. Like normally, if I'm in like another game and they're just like, I lost my mask, can you help me find it? I'm just like, fuck you and your mask. I got shit to do. I got a world to save. And now I'm just like, nope, I'm a benevolent god wolf who, for some reason, pees with her leg up, even though it's a she.
I know, that doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
Doesn't make no sense.
Anyway, that's a perfect segue into my first news article, which GamesRadar actually had an interview with the producer of Okamiden, and he was talking about how Capcom listens to fans' demands, which you take that however way you want it. But he says that if there is enough demand, he himself and his team can get started on sequels. He wants a true sequel for Okami, and he also wants a true sequel for God Hand.
Really?
Yes. He said
Oh.
God Hand was one of his most favorite, one of his favorite games they put out because it revolves around not blocking but constantly dodging and moving. So he said, so far for God Hand, he said he really wants it on the PlayStation 3. For Okami, he was a bit more vague. He said it would go on whatever platform he felt would best represent it at that time.
I just hope that's not the way.
Who knows? It could be the Wii 2. I would hope by now Capcom would learn if they're going to release a second Okami, they should just release it multi-platform
Yeah.
if they can. I see a sequel to God Hand being easier for Capcom to do simply because Okami has tried two or three times now and through Capcom's eyes has failed.
Yeah.
And God Hand has technically only failed once. I actually don't know how Okamiden did in sales. I know I bought it and
It
you
did
did as well,
mediocre.
Trevor.
It didn't do terrible. I forgot the number, but like, especially considering it went up against Pokemon Black and White, it fared
And
reasonably.
yeah, and during the time where the DS officially died, or sort of.
Yeah, with the 3DS, which is doing, I don't know, I don't know if this is one of your new segments for today because I don't know what they are yet, but who is head of Nintendo? Anybody?
Satoru
You
Iwata.
know.
Yeah, I wanna. Did you see his quote? That
No,
they
I did
quote
not.
a day. I don't know which one you're referring to.
Oh, well, like the numbers were released for the 3DS and they were a lot lower than expected. Like sudden decline that happened in the purchases, and he said something along the lines of he thought the fanboys would have scooped it up for any price, so this is unexpected.
If that is the case, then I feel bad for my next story, which is another sort of cult classic. They're doing a Mega Man Legends 3, but they're doing it in a way that I guess no company has done before. They're going to have the 3DS shop open supposedly later this month, and they're releasing for Mega Man 3, Mega Man Legends 3, a prototype version that's going to be their premier title for that online store. Now, Capcom has already stated that based on how well that does, they will find out from there whether or not they're going to actually finish the game.
Really?
So this is the first time that they are actually, and they're really pushing this game because they have ads, like if you look up anything for like the 3DS eShop, which is what I think they're calling it, this is going to be like their flagship title. And even the producer and the developers for Mega Man Legends 3 have been telling everybody, you have to download this. If you do not download this, the game will not be finished.
That's the
Because
dumbest shit
Capcom
I
will
have
see
ever heard.
that.
That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. What happens if you play it?
Now,
What if you're one of the
normally,
people who pay for it and then you don't? That's. I'm
yeah.
outraged. That's my outrage.
I think, now, to me, it doesn't seem as bad an idea if another company did it. Only because we have all seen what Capcom standards for success and failure are. And I actually don't think that there is enough people who own 3DSs, even if they bought two copies of this damn game, that they would consider it a success. Because I've seen, like, Maverick Hunter X sold sort of subpar, and they came out and they went, it was a complete and utter failure, and we'll never do it again. And I'm thinking, if you know, I would think Mega Man X may have a larger following than Legends. I don't know. But to anybody out there who wants to play this game and wants to see it finished, you better damn well download that prototype version, because if you don't, it looks like Capcom has no qualms with just sliding it under the rug and going, well, all you get is the prototype and that's it.
Such fuck. Oh, that's fuckery.
Now, I wonder if that was because, like, Inafune left, or if they're having a lot of problems with developing it, or if they just don't have a good enough lead. But apparently, from what the developers have said in the interviews with, like, Games Radar and, like, IGN, is that they stand by their product and they're ready to complete it. But apparently, they're not allowed to do any more work until this prototype version checks out.
Man.
And I was like, that's in one hand, that's sort of a unique idea, whether you view it as good or bad. In the other hand, it's almost like holding someone's favorite game hostage. And just being like, you're going to have to pay for this, and even if you do, you're still not guaranteed the game that you want.
That's like a Kodak move.
Yeah. All right. And of course, now the last one going into Sony now. Apparently today, they have two different things. They say the PlayStation Network is one entity, and they have another entity called Sony Online Entertainment.
Yeah.
And apparently that has also been hacked.
Really? Awesome.
And
Well, I mean,
over
it's central data center. It's not too much of a surprise.
Yeah, and but with that, I actually haven't followed the PSN news today. Is the PSN still rumored to have the credit cards not be compromised? Because I know with the Sony Online Entertainment, they actually have already said that over 12,000 credit cards have been compromised.
12,700 cards have been compromised, but the data
Yeah.
is from 2007.
Okay.
So if you haven't
Still.
changed your card since 2007, you might want to do so now, but most people
Yeah,
have.
I
I think
it is gone. You know, at first I was a little bit upset with Sony having, I guess, what we could consider subpar security. I know nothing about that, so I really can't claim that they do. But it's getting to the point where now I'm almost a little bit embarrassed for them, because I'm just like, I really hope that, you know, people just stop talking about this, because they have enough class action lawsuits. And honestly, for me, I'm just going to go ahead and take my credit card off of the PSN. I'll just get the gift cards from now on. As far as my email address and home address, I think someone could have probably Googled that pretty quickly on my account.
See, I'm tired of people saying that this is some sort of terrible failure. This is the best thing that's ever happened to us. If it wasn't for that thief, we would have never found out where Osama bin Laden was.
That's true. He actually
Log it
signed
on.
onto his PlayStation Network and revealed his location in Pakistan, and now we also have his credit card
He was playing
information.
Battlefield Bad Company. Somebody hacked
The
PlayStation
Russians,
Network.
of
He
course.
used his own name on the PlayStation Network like some crazy person. And look what happens. America. That's what happens.
He took a bullet in the face.
And in the chest. You know
That's what you.
who's really one of those
That.
people who play Bad Company? He probably got shot by
Hey,
people
you
who
know
play
what?
Bad
That's
Company.
what he gets for not playing SOCOM US Navy SEALs.
It is.
All right?
He always played terrorists
At least did.
in every game he played.
Right.
Right,
Yeah,
Gavin?
that was that.
Damn
Right,
straight.
Gavin? Gavin is looking at porn. He
He's
is
actually
IMDb.
found the wedding porn.
He's looking for the wedding porn this whole time.
He's actually found
Can
it.
you not hear me? I've been making commentative noises, if not exactly commenting with words.
Okay.
Can you hear me
Just
okay?
let me know when it changes into a snuff film, because I'm really sold on that idea, and I hope no one's copied it.
I feel like every porn should end in snuff. I can't even keep talking. That's too stupid.
All right, let's do the community question here.
Community
Which
question.
the community question, which if you feel so inclined to answer it, we'll probably get a response from Korn. It also has to do with Sony. And given the recent event that Sony's PlayStation Network was compromised, What are your feelings towards the company now? Are they sympathetic? Are you angry? Are you indifferent? Are you going to stop using the credit card through them and just buy the prepaid cards like I mentioned? Or are you some of the extreme few that on the internet have said they are going to swear off the PlayStation 3 altogether and either go back to the Xbox 360 or go to the PC? Let us know what you think, Korn.
And Yaz's mom, if she's listening.
And Yaz's mother, which she should really be worried about her son right now.
Is it wrong that I don't care? Like, I haven't gone out and tried to change my credit card. The service was free, so I'm not, like, blaming them for getting, like, Amazon can get hacked. So, I mean, what's PlayStation Network's not surprising. I'm a little pissed that I've had to go through, like, 20-minute updates every week to keep myself from being hacked. Mm-hmm. And I got hacked. But, you know, like, it sucks a little bit because, like, Xbox is doing Hulu this week. Mm-hmm. PlayStation's done Hulu for a while now. And but I can see people just not, like, oh, can't use it on my PlayStation, just going to do it on Xbox from now on. Like, I think it's going to hurt them on a lot of, like, their Netflix and stuff like that. But I'd contest that a majority of people who aren't, like, parents who have kids and are all, like, freaking out now, I'd contest that a lot of them, this doesn't affect that badly.
Mm-hmm. That and looking at Amazon that actually now has the PlayStation Network, like, cards, but they just email you the code. Really, having your credit card on the PSN is sort of moot at that point, because if you want it in a more secure place and say you trust Amazon more now after this event, you can literally just buy it on there, the same as if you were to buy it in a store on their PSN store, and get it emailed to you in like 2 seconds. And just type it all in, and you have money.
I can see that. I mean, that's a pretty good point, I guess.
We discussed the issue of the PSN at length at the last stream show we did. We do a weekly stream show, which, if you haven't seen, you're a terrible, terrible person.
You can plug it right now if you want.
I can. Every week, I believe, around Friday or Thursday, depending on our schedules. We announce it beforehand, of course. Myself and Sella, who's another person who works on our site, PR mostly, we have our little stream show on justin.tv/eldergeek.com, all spelled out, .dot, eldergeek.com. And we talk about the issues of the day, and it's wonderful. Shin's online, he's gaming for us, so you don't have to just listen to us. You'll have some fun gameplay to keep yourself occupied, and we love to answer people in chat. So come over and chat with us and hear us chat, because we are incredibly knowledgeable about the industry.
There you go.
I think we just lost Korn.
I'm pretty sure.
You stole our one viewer.
You stole our one listener. I hope you're happy.
I hope I stole him and put him in my chat show. That would be fun. That would be.
He won't be a guest on the next podcast, because there won't be a next podcast.
And he's going to crack down. He's going to shut us down.
He's going to realize we've just been hemorrhaging money.
And we've been spending of Elder Geek's money on LSD.
Just pain pills.
Just going pain pill crazy in here. And look what happens.
But in terms of a serious answer here, I could reiterate. I'm probably not going to do anything differently. I mean,
I have to agree with that, though. Like
realistically, Sony got hacked after, how long has it been now? 5-6 years? I mean, a serious hack.
They had a good run.
Microsoft got hacked that way both Microsoft and Nintendo got hacked that way within a year. So Sony managing this long is incredible. And I tend to be favoring a lot of Sony here than most people, most of the instant forum reactions that I've seen. Class action lawsuits against Sony at this stage in time are simply irresponsible.
Yeah,
considering that there is absolutely no evidence to suggest that credit card information has been hacked, at least on Sony's side. Sony's online entertainment, that's a bit muddier. But even then, they have offered a compensation package. If you're not happy with the compensation package, when the system goes up again, you can consider a lawsuit. But at this point in time, it's absolutely premature and immature. But, it's been down for a few weeks. I've been sad. It couldn't have come at a worse time for Sony, considering Portal Combat. That was the release of both Portal 2 Combat and SOCOM 4. It could not have happened at a worse time for them. And they've already lost thousands of dollars, probably tens of thousands, if not into the hundred thousands by now, depending on depending on PSN sales statistics outside of Tuesday.
I'd be pissed if I was a PSN developer. That would...
Oh, yeah. PSN exclusive developers? I know quite a few. Scrambled Scrappers, I know the guys over there. They were pissed. Especially if your game was supposed to come out in the past 2 weeks. You've had to delay it. I mean, that's cost on your end. I haven't heard anything in terms of reimbursement on Sony's end to their developers, but it's pretty likely that they will have to. And even that's more money out of Sony's pocket. So there is already such tremendous loss on Sony's part. The free market is very quick to punish these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So to add a lawsuit on top of that, it just seems petty. If your information had been hacked and you could, you know, connect the dots, sue the shit out of them. But so far we've had less than a dozen claims of credit card abuse due to the PSN attack, and both Sony and credit card companies like MasterCard, Visa, and American Express say we have absolutely no data to suggest that there's a correlation between fraudulent charges at this time and the PSN outage. So,
and you know, the credit card companies are keeping an eye on it because they're the ones who are going to have to spend the money on reissuing new cards.
It's always the internal rule in any of these things is follow the money. Not just when money stands to be won, but when money stands to be lost. So, I mean, there's really no reason for any of this this hysteria that we've been seeing. I'm pissed that I lost, you know, PSN outage, but it's not like this is a this is anything on Sony's part that they wanted to do. They took a while to, you know, tell people, mainly because they were doing multiple investigations on their side by themselves. They didn't want to release any information before they absolutely knew anything, because hell, even when they did, they stoked a lot of fanboy fervor. Mm-hmm. So
the last thing you want is a company to go, we're fucked.
Actually, the last thing you want to go is saying, we're fucked, and since we're fucked, you're fucked.
Everyone's fucked.
Everybody's fucked, and not in the good way, which is never fun.
For most of the gaming community, sounds like a good thing. But...
yeah, probably.
Forever.
But, yeah, I mean, absolutely no reason. I mean, the people that really should be the only people that should be pissed off are the developers. On the PSN, and even people that wanted to release game full retail boxes. I'm not sure exactly where the blame is. It's not on Anonymous, I know that. It's not their MO. But last time I checked, it was Rebug, which is a custom firmware that allows you to disguise your PS3 as a developer PS3, and thus, through that, I don't know exactly sure how, I'm not really technical, but you can create and use false credit cards on the PSN, and they shut it down to avoid that. So that's the main rumor. It doesn't sound legit enough, but it sounds more like that than anything worth worrying about.
Yeah.
So all the stuff, it was blown way out of the water. I still think it should have been a concern, and it's going to be a major concern for Sony going forward, since, again, you couldn't have picked a worse time than 2 months before E3. Because matter what you bring out at E3, unless it's a new console, and unless you say everyone in this audience is getting an NGP, everything you're going to be asking for and everyone's going to ask you questions about is the outage. So,
What I would like to see is Kevin Butler making fun of himself for it.
Yeah, of course.
If they can do something that we can laugh at them and laugh with them, I think it would do wonders for the company's image.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, 30 free days of PSN, I mean, it's nice. It's the least they can do. And that's really all they needed to do. So, suck it up, take it, and let's move on. If people want to take off their credit cards, that's fine. I don't think a lot of people will. I think once people realize the amount of effort it's going to take to either change your credit card or take it off the PSN and then do the codes, even if it means going to Amazon, a lot of people are not going to realize that the effort's worth it. So,
And honestly, my theory of doing the PSN cards, really all that'll do is probably get me to spend more money since it's actually already on there. So that's probably a win-win for Sony, because before I just paid with the credit card and it would just pay the amount that the game had. Now I'll have like $20 or $40 on the PSN at all times and go, well, shit, I can just buy it. I already have the money on there.
Right.
You do that anyways. You spend your money like a fucking idiot.
Yep.
How's that fight stick running? How's that using that fight stick a lot without the PSN?
Yeah, I'm using that fight stick. That fight stick works with the dungeon game. That works with Castle Crashers.
All of which are online and multiplayer.
Works with Marvel. I will never regret buying that.
I'll make you regret
never.
Buying that.
And on that note, we had no emails or real substantial comments. Not talking about you, Korn. We love you, but nobody else commented. So normally, what we do to punish our listeners is we do a segment called Yaz Asks Stupid Questions. Unfortunately, we can't do that this week. So we're going to go ahead and pass the mantle off to Gavin, and it will now for this week be called Gavin Asks a Stupid Question. So take it away, Gavin. So
just a stupid question?
It doesn't have to be gaming related. It can be anything, just a stupid question.
Okay, and this is to all of our lovely, lovely viewers, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Stupid question. Stupid question.
The awkward silence adds to the punishment.
Yes, indeed. What flavor of pie would you most prefer to be on the knife that stabs you in the eye in about 5 minutes?
Ooh. Ooh, man.
Oof.
That's a tough one. That's a good stupid question. I'm going to go and say key lime. Well, lime would hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. See, you got trapped. Me? Pecan. Because pecans will interfere with the blade, lessen the impact. See?
Sure.
Okay.
I was going to go apple cinnamon.
Oh, okay.
Do they fucking make apple cinnamon pie? I don't know what Mexican country you're from, but they don't do that here in America.
It's called an apple pie with churros.
Okay.
honestly, if you don't want to be stabbed with that, you're not American.
A churro apple pie.
A churro apple pie.
Oh. Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Gavin, for that.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Amazing.
Yes. Go ahead and email us or leave any comments at Forced Update. What is it again?
You can go. The boss man will take it over real quick.
I tell you, go ahead.
You want to comment on any of the news stories we said today or respond to our community question or our wonderful Gavin Asks Stupid Question, you can go to the Forced Update page on elder-geek.com and just type it in our comments at the bottom, or you can go to your local email client and send an email to forcedupdate@elder-geek.com.
Email client sounds so official.
It does. We got Gavin on, taking a big sip out of a straw of some kind.
Actually, that wasn't me.
Oh,
that's kind of freaky. We may have a Skype poltergeist.
A Skype-tergeist.
They're here.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, how do we wrap up?
That's a wrap.
That's it. That's the wrap. We say see you next week, and then we usually sit here and discuss where our lives
are. How no one will listen to it.
That sounds fantastic. Propaganda della seta la chiamava di nonno, decretava nella città la regina malavò, in decretava in sera la cartiena maha, decretava in la cavarina, sei in lava, decretava in la donna tela, in decava di riso, a decretava da morica di mani per lua, decretava la tu, a ricca, a no, a da chi ha voluto, siete ricca di comana, propaganda! Propaganda! Alright, guys, then I will see you all later.
See ya.
Alright, see ya.
Bye.
We're never having another podcast. Worst podcast ever.